surprised at how annoying it
is. As I mentioned last night when the bill was laid over that will be before us today, House File 2680, that they were working on some language and a fiscal note, and that we would convene the committee as soon as that was available. And that's where we're at right now. It is all available. We have the fiscal note in the packets and an amendment that we'll be taking up. But the first thing we need to do, Representative Benson, have you looked at the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Chair Carlson, I move the February 10th, 2010 minutes.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley, this is a report out of your division.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the Health Care and Human Services Finance Division report for House File 2680, the first committee engrossment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Mr. Emulsion to adopt the committee report. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chairman, I move House File 2680, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion then is before us. And Representative Huntley, there is an amendment then that you will be moving?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move the A11-1 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before you, and so at this point, Representative Murphy, the main amendment is before us, so if you would explain the bill as it will be amended.
As I have done each step along the way, I'd like to begin by thanking our staff who have worked with a lot of people over the course of the summer and the fall, Dan Pollock, Kate Prusik, Lori Sales, and Randy Chun and Mr. Walls. I'd like to recognize the hard work of the Department of Human Services. We've been working together with them since, I think, late November to try and get a fiscal note together on this proposal, and they've given us a lot of technical advice on the proposal to try and get it into the shape it needs to be in to be able to move it. And I know they've worked long and hard on this, and it should be recognized. I also want to thank again Representative Matt Dean, who we've been talking together about this solution, his and mine, over the course of the winter. And then to the GAMC Alliance and the Safety Net Coalition, there are a lot of people that have been working to try and help us shape a solution that brings relief, but a reformed and partial restoration of the General Assistance Medical Care Program to the legislature.
No.
The amendment that we have today removes the hospital surcharge, the CMA surcharge you've heard about. It removes the HMO surcharge. It removes references to the formula language that was related to the surcharge, and it removes any references to MCHA. And we've done that because our goal has been to work with the administration to get a proposal signed into law. And as this week has unfolded, it has become clear that the governor is concerned about the surcharges. The surcharge is a financing mechanism that has been used in the past, last in 2003. It's a financial mechanism that allows us to draw down federal dollars. And we have used it. The last time it was adopted is in 2003. It was not a surcharge like this. It was a nursing home surcharge. Nonetheless, it became very clear to us that the governor had objections to that. We got a letter from the Department of Human Services this week with further objection, and it became clear that the proposal that we had with those surcharges in it was not going to be signed into law. And because we think it's important to get a signed bill before the auto enrollment begins into Minnesota Care, we have listened and we have taken those provisions out. And that's essentially what the amendment is before you. The balance of the proposal is the same. We propose a mental health care delivery reform. We work closely with the Department of Human Services on this. It's based on an East Metro pilot that has proven to reduce hospitalizations for the mentally ill and reduce the length of stay for the mentally ill. And we know that 60% or so of the population served in general assistance medical care has a persistent mental illness. We think it's important to place some reform around care delivery there, and DHS scores this with a modest savings. We had introduced the bill with the notion of an accountable care organization. It is a model of delivery and payment that has been debated both here in the Minnesota legislature in 2008 and in the Congress. But there were a number of people that were concerned with that idea. They thought we were moving too quickly, so we stepped away from that. And we have rested with the idea of a county-based coordinated care option. It's a county provider option, voluntary, to be provide care for divine population for a fixed appropriation. We think this is a promising pilot for the state of Minnesota if a county chooses to use it. And in the Health and Human Services Finance Committee, Representative Abler moved an amendment that we adopted that takes that idea a little further into study with the Department of Human Services to see if we can really flex that idea and bring that back to the legislature as we continue to look at how we care for a very sick population, which is one of the hallmarks of general assistance medical care. We have listened carefully to the county organizations on the idea of a county share provision that was in the original bill as introduced in December. The county organizations would prefer either a cut to county block grants or a cut in county program aid. And we have acted on that, and we have in here two cuts to county block grants. And I know the counties don't love that, and they are reluctantly working with us, and I really appreciate that. We had promised that we would make those as small as we can, and we have kept that promise. And we will continue to work with the counties as we go forward through the session. As I said, this is a 16-month temporary proposal. We think it's important for many reasons that this population is funded, that we provide care for them. I think it's important to note that, and there's been some confusion about this, general assistance medical care serves upwards of 70,000 people every year. But it's about 30 to 35,000 people in any given month. About 15% of this population is veterans, about 8,000 people. And we have had testimony in the Health and Human Services Policy Committee. We heard from a young man named Caleb who's back from the Iraq War. He is clearly struggling with his reentry into the United States and his life here. And he is enrolled in GAMC. He's also homeless. He's living on the street. And he came to the committee to ask that we please please support partial restoration of this legislation. There are a number of reasons to support this proposal. It assures ongoing coverage for those enrolled in Minnesota Care by keeping this population out of the Health Care Access Fund. And maintaining the Health Care Access Fund and keeping it out of deficit. It does capture some federal DSH dollars and drug rebate funds, which is going to help us pay for it. It offers innovative reform in the care of the mentally ill, as I've already highlighted. It offers health care to the roughly 70,000 Minnesotans for about half the price, and I think that's a pretty important note. It does provide health care cost containment because we are cutting rates to providers in order to maintain coverage. They don't love that either, but we are doing that. It shelters the middle class, property tax, and health insurance premium payers from increases that result from a steep increase in uncompensated care that occurs when general assistance medical care goes away. Again, I want to thank people for all of their work on this proposal, and I hope now that this bill will move forward through Ways and Means tomorrow, tonight, through this committee with your support, to Ways and Means tomorrow, and then to the floor for a full debate. And with that, I'll take your questions. Thank you very much.
Okay, and we kind of killed two birds with one stone, both the description of the amendment and the overall direction of the bill, but we should now adopt the amendment to put it in the order that it was, or the bill in the order than it was presented. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Mr.
Motion
Chairman?
Carried. Representative Huntley.
I have a correction amendment that we need to pass. It should have been in as part of the First Amendment we just did, but I would move that to delete Section 14 on page 17. This section relates to how we would pay back using the surcharge, and since the surcharge is no longer there, we don't need this section.
Okay, everybody follow the Section 14, page 17. The motion is to delete. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. I have another amendment, Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This
it's being passed out, I guess, right now.
Okay. Well, I'll describe it while it's getting passed out.
Being passed out.
A large portion of this population, 15%, I think, are veterans. And some of those folks can be served through the Federal Veterans Administration on federal dollars instead of on state dollars. And so what this amendment would do would be to direct the commissioner to identify folks that would qualify for those benefits and assist them in actually applying and getting the federal dollars to come in, so they're being paid with federal dollars instead of our state dollars, to bring savings to the state. We did this last year with what are called SMRTs, so to try to speed up the process of people getting on SSI disability, and this amendment is modeled off of that. They actually booked savings on that proposal. They hired 16 people, but actually booked savings because we'd be moving people into a federally covered program. And this is a similar proposal to do additional cost containment in this program. There is an oral amendment I'd like to offer on line 1.18. Oh, it's on there then. I guess the handwritten piece is part of the amendment. Okay.
Yeah, but it's not technically the name of the committee, but the staff will incorporate the Representative Junkie, technically your division.
No, this amendment is right, because it doesn't matter what the committee's name is. It'll go to the committee that has oversight on Veterans Affairs Finance.
We don't need the agricultural. Okay.
Yeah.
Then
so that's
correct.
That's the amendment.
And that's the amendment. Any discussion on the A8 amendment? Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Thiessen, I like the direction you're going. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering why we just don't do that already through the CVSO type approach. It seems to me that if a veteran comes in, one of their goals is to get them served at whatever county that they're actually in residence. Maybe I don't know if you or Representative Junkie, it seems like that should already occur. Because I agree that they should be covered, and we should try to get them covered through the mechanism that makes most sense.
Right, Mr. Chair. Just to that point, you're right. What this does is basically tell human services personnel to find these veterans. When you identify them as a veteran, get them to a CVSO or to Department of Veterans Affairs officer or someone else who can understand if they do qualify for veterans benefits. That's all this amendment is doing. And you're right. Once it gets to either the county CVSO or the Department of Veterans Affairs, there's no cost. The people are already there, and that's their job. But it's just actually grabbing them and getting them to in front of the right person to get those benefits. And that's what this does, because these programs go through human services. And so as they're showing up at their door, we want to make sure, and they should be, but let's just make sure they are, and if we can get federal dollars and more. I mean, they may get other benefits from the Veterans Affairs once we identify them and hopefully get them in the system.
Okay, any further discussion on the Thiessen amendment, the A8 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We have then the bill as amended before us. Any further discussion? Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Murphy, I know you have worked very hard, and I thank you for all your efforts. I think the bill is moving in a good direction. I appreciate One of the things I'm curious about is that we've got a list of how this impacts hospitals, and I thank you for that. I think it's good for everybody to have that information. But I'm wondering about if there is a number that we can use related to the impacts to the providers in terms of the cuts and the reductions to the providers themselves versus just to the hospitals, because I think that's good information for everybody to have as they move forward as well.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Broad, I would need to quantify that number or work to quantify that number. We have moved in our efforts to try and reduce the cost of this program. We are moving general assistance medical care out of prepaid medical assistance, and they're being paid with fee-for-service rates unless a county provider group chooses that coordinated option. And those providers are going to be paid at 50% of the rate that they're currently being paid in other public programs, which is a steep cut.
Okay, any further discussion? Well, seeing none, then Representative Huntley renews his motion that House File 2680, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Just by way of a quick announcement, and Representative Solberg may want to comment as well, but it looks like, remember last night we announced that the governor's, or I did, that the governor's budget would be presented to us on Monday morning, and Representative Solberg had received a phone call during the meeting, and that was to be delayed, and both of us received a phone call this morning from Tom Hansen, and they are trying to work around when the governor will have his press conference on the budget, and Tom Hansen said that as soon as that's done, he will be here to present the budget. So the plan that Representative Solberg and I are tentatively planning to move ahead with is that we will convene the committee at 10:30, assuming that the governor's press conference will be before that. We will have a presentation. We will recess for the floor session and take that opportunity to review the governor's budget as it's been presented to us and reconvene later that day, with the idea being that that will give us an opportunity to ask questions. Now, we all know that the capital investment bill is going to be up, and so we're going to be working within some of those confines. But the main thing is to keep tuned. Are you getting another phone call?
From Mr. Hansen for the first time.
Oh, you are. Tell him, is he watching us? Is that why
he's watching us?
Okay. And again, he's, yes, no audio in this. Ask me if he's playing favorites between the chairs here. Or my actually this morning, then mine rang right after yours. So.
You were talking, so he called me.
Oh, okay.
And I made another mistake of leaving it on. He said it would probably be a mid to late morning, so we have to be very flexible. So it'll probably, I don't know if our time that we had framed that we had to talk about.
We were trying to give people heads up, and we indicated everything was tentative, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But that's the general idea, if everything works, is that we will convene in the morning and recess. And
But keep your emails open, if you would, please,
yeah,
for that, because it that just may not work.
Okay, with that, so people are aware, and then I just want to thank Commissioner Hansen for watching. Appreciate that. And Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to point out to Representative Solberg that how well coordinated your committee is and Representative Hausman's committee, but his is always in question as to when we're going to have it.
okay. With no further comment.
No, I didn't hear.
What did he say?
It's a good thing.
Exactly.
Somebody will tell me.
I want to thank everybody, and with that, meeting adjourned.